Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 18th of December, and I am recording at 10:49 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in amazingly warm London. Okay, well, nervous markets. I think I said that yesterday, and we certainly have that in here today. Let me run through some of them here for you. I'm starting in the Asia-Pacific region with Japan. Now, this was bizarre because Japan opened really quite firm. And then I don't have all the precise details, but I can certainly give you the gist of it. But evidently, Bank of Japan was just commenting on the fact that the economy wasn't doing too badly at all, which is, I think, an accurate statement. So they said that they were going to adjust the way they were proceeding with their quantitative easing program. And that was enough to cause a big sell-off following early gains. And so we ended up down 1.9% on the Nikkei 225. And elsewhere, most markets were down. China barely changed, really compared to everything else. You know, we're talking about declines of a third of a percent on average. Here, Australia, another gain, albeit a tiny one, in here today. The Indian Sensex index down 1.1% on the day. Biggest declines, other than Japan, well, they're equal to Japan. Thailand and Indonesia both down over 1.99%. And as we look at the European stock markets, these swung around a fair amount and then closed weak on softness from the U.S. market. But most of the declines are over 1%, including Germany down 1.2%, Spain 1.6%, Italy 1.3%. That gives you a good idea of what the day was like. The UK was down 0.4%, and the Euro Stoxx index was down 1.38%. So really choppy action we're seeing in here, and rallies haven't been lasting for more than two or three days at best. Then going on to Wall Street, well, there were some heavy hits in here today. The Dow closed down 2.1%. Not often that we see those over 2% moves for the Dow. Brought it back down to 17,128. The S&P 500 is down 1.78%. It's come back to 2005. So that psychological 2000 level is within easy reach. And the NASDAQ Composite Index, which is still up on the year, as is the NASDAQ 100, but it came down. NASDAQ Composite came down nearly 1.6% here today. The Dow and the S&P 500 are both down on the year to date. Canada, a very modest gain, but a weak performance on the year in U.S. dollars, down nearly 26%. And that Canadian dollar has really been quite weak, in line with other commodity exporting markets. Now, predominantly commodity exporting markets. Now, Mexico also down 1.3%, and Brazil clipped for nearly 3%. So again, aggressive selling pretty well across the boards. Very nervous conditions here for investors. And the trouble is, you look through the charts and there are not very many that appeal all that much. There have been the very strong group of companies, really Amazon, we're talking about Starbucks, we have Google, so on, but they're all overextended extremely overextended. And a disconcerting factor in here is that the breadth of the market has clearly deteriorated. Did I mention Apple? Apple is, I've referred to it as iconic Apple all year long and said, you know, watch out when Apple starts to underperform here, because that will erode sentiment within the stock market for sure. And Apple's at, I think it's at 106. And let me just get that up again. I don't want to make a mistake. Just get that, bring that up for you. Yeah, it's 106.03. So that's not good. That's the lowest it's been since its plunge in August. Now, its plunge in August got all the way down to this ridiculously low. Well, now let me just get a guide on that here. It was down at... Looks like about 94, 87, something like that, very close to that, and it was, and now you see it, now you don't spike to the lower side. But, you know, Apple, back in November, it tested the underside of its big trading range, and it's just failed there very badly. I mean, the share is cheap relative to a lot of these high-performance tech companies. But the thing is, it's 12% of the NASDAQ, approximately. So that's not a good sign here overall. And Apple clearly needs an upward dynamic here to right the ship. And there are too many patterns that look toppy overall. So that's going to be unnerving investors as well. And what happened to the, you know, the seasonal performance of December? Well, we're just only slightly more than halfway through through December, but it has been very unimpressive here so far. I think comment was the weakest December since 2002, and I think. Just the nervousness in terms of what we have from sentiment, the deteriorating breadth in the market overall, some of the sharp volatility. It's the kind of thing that causes investors to move to the sidelines here, and inevitably there's some profit taking before year end. I suspect a fair amount of that's already out of the way. But just to sum it all up in one word, nervous. Sum it up in two words, very nervous. And moving on, looking at the government bond index, the U.S. 10-year treasuries, well, those yields are declining again for, well, this is just the third day in a row, 2.2%. On that 10-year, and the VIX has edged up, I think it edged up over 1.6% to 20.07. So that also reflects the nervousness generally. And the dollar, or the dollar index, I should say, 98.72 as I speak, and that is down over... over nearly 0.550 on the day. So coming back to 98.72, a bit of respite, but you know it had that big upward dynamic yesterday. And basically, I think here's a dilemma that's been worrying me, and I think it's going to worry a number of other people here. We know the U.S. Is leading the recovery. It's only a modest recovery, but full points for actually achieving that. We know that the U.S. wants to normalize interest rates over the next year or two, or would certainly like to. That may be very difficult to achieve. It has said that it's going to do so gradually. But it penciled in what their intention to make four interest rate hikes next year. Now, I said that really surprised me, and I think they're out on a bit of a limb there. They don't have to do that, of course, but the problem is what they really have to do is to contain the dollar. Now, that doesn't mean they have to push the dollar way down, but they need to keep that dollar index under the 100 level. Because if the dollar index were to break up out of that range and move higher, well, you've heard me say before that rule of thumb on this is a 10% rise in the dollar, particularly if it occurs quickly, can knock a full point off GDP growth. And the U.S. really can't afford that. Now, it's not going to be that easy. Yes, they can intervene, and I feel they have been intervening, as I've said repeatedly. But the trouble is, for the U.S., that they're wanting to lift rates at a time when the other leading economies around the globe, with the exception of the U.K., are really using QE, their own versions of quantitative easing. And that includes Japan, that includes China, it includes the European Union, and it includes a number of smaller countries or regions as well. And one of the reasons they're using that QE is to keep the currency, their currencies soft. And that makes it just that much easier for the dollar to be singled out as something to own, because its secular bear market is over. And its long-term recovery potential is clear. So if the U.S. is unable to keep that dollar index below 100 over the next year or so, they may well have a problem on their hands. And that would not help other regions of the globe either. So that's a tricky situation. So there are a lot of things to be concerned about here overall. And I don't want to list too many warnings in here, but I've got to mention the Middle East. The policy on oil is in chaos. The military action is dangerous. You've got that loose cannon Putin over there, who's virtually said in his 3-hour press conference, well, his troops are over there and his jets are over there, his missiles are over there, but said in his 3-hour press conference yesterday, in so many words, that he'd shoot down any Turkish jet that he saw in the Syria region. So, you know, there are a lot of black swans out there. So I'm afraid that we're going to have this nervous environment here for a bit longer than I had hoped. Now, looking at some of these markets, though, what are the biggest risks? And that deteriorating breadth on the U.S. is a concern. Is it going to lead to a crash? Well, we had that mini crash back in August, so I doubt it. I doubt it overall. But choppy? Absolutely. That's what we're getting. Overall, on a medium to longer term basis, I think the risks for bonds are much higher. Because the U.S. is going to recover, particularly if the Fed can keep that dollar from appreciating. And then the QE that's taking place in other regions, well, we're seeing it's already improved. First, the U.K. has a very steady economy relative to its other European trade partners. Japan is improving overall. That's an encouraging situation. I think that China is improving overall, and I've never been as alarmist on China as some of the big hedge funds in the U.S. that wanted to short it or wanted to help their short positions have felt about China. So I don't think there's a disaster out there for equities, but equally, it's hard to see the good news here at this time. And hopefully we'll get some better technical evidence coming forward before too long. But part of that technical evidence, good technical evidence, would be reflecting a general pickup in global GDP growth. And that's bad for bonds, in my opinion. So my feeling, I've said it all along, and it hasn't happened yet, and I didn't say that it was imminent, but that all along, that in terms of the longer-term potential, the scope for government bond yields moving higher, I think is a clearer certainty than the scope for, let's say, stock markets to go down across the boards. I think stock markets can stay very choppy in here. I've repeated that point, but not disasters. It's a buy low, sell high environment, and I would not. I'd be cautious about chasing things that are getting overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. On a longer-term basis, as you know, I'm optimistic here that the factors, starting with technology and all the benefits that corporations that are keeping up with technologies gain from that, are very considerable. The size of the global economy is also a major factor. Growing middle classes, cheap energy, these are all bullish points for the long term. But are they going to help us during the second half of December? Well, I hope so, but I'm not banking on it. I'll put it that way. Now, in terms of currencies, I've talked a lot about the dollar, but it's the commodity currencies that have been the really weak ones. In here, anywhere also where you're seeing the quantitative easing, they're not going to do too well. Incidentally, on that, when I mentioned the Bank of Japan just saying they were going to alter their policy on QE, that caused the yen to strengthen. So it's at 121.16, and that's a factor behind that sharp drop that we saw in the Nikkei index in here today. And I think that we need to see that back up to 123 or higher here to calm nerves among investors in that market. And looking at other currencies here, the euro actually firmed a little bit here today on the dollar coming down. As I've mentioned, so the euro is at 1.0868. I don't think the euro gets much above 110 myself. The ECB certainly won't want to see it much higher overall. There's really no reason that stands out as to why the euro should go up, but there are plenty of reasons, not least QE, as to why it should move a little lower. But is it going to move drastically lower? No, I don't think so, unless we get clear evidence that the EU is breaking up. I expect that at some point, but I'm not holding my breath in terms of that being an imminent development. Sterling, the Chancellor George Osborne will want to make sure that sterling does not appreciate against the euro, because the EU is a major trading partner, and sterling in here today is at a little lower here, 1.4895, nearly 1.49. The Chinese devaluation that I had been mentioning, a slow motion devaluation, That had a pause in it today, but it's been pretty much every day that we've seen it somewhat weaker. Interestingly, the Indian rupee is a little steadier over the last few days. It's come back down from that 67 rupee to the U.S. dollar, and I think it's at 66.4 here right now. But that main story among the currencies, well, there are two of them really, and they are dollar strength, albeit the dollar index still being in its trading range, near the upper side of its trading range, and the weakness of the commodity currencies. And these commodities have been very volatile in here, as you know, and mostly to the downside. Crude oil lower again today. The Brent crude, 36.55. The WTI, 34.55. So that's nosebleed stuff for all oil producers in here. When I say that, you will be aware, of course, that the Saudis can produce crude oil very, very cheaply, but they've also got big expenditures that they've committed themselves to. And so they're running massive deficits in here right now because they're not getting the revenue at these oil prices. And the precious metals, which were hammered yesterday, a little firmer in here today, slightly firmer. The palladium 557 and change. Silver picked up 37 cents, 14.08 in here this evening. Platinum also picked up nearly $15. That takes it up to 859 and change. And let's see, gold bullion also up about $15 at 1,065. The agricultural commodities that I can see pretty much stronger. Sugar, definitely stronger. Coffee, a little stronger. The grains and beans, soybeans, corn, only a fraction higher on corn, but soybeans higher, and wheat a little higher, so is rough rice. So the agricultural is a little bit steadier in here today, also helped by that softer dollar, as are the precious metals and the industrial metals. Actually, industrial metals did quite well in here today. That's a good, that last but not least note of the day. The industrial metals were firmer. Commodities are so oversold. The next big move has to be to the upside. We are in a trough area for these industrial commodities. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions. That's certainly the case. And some significant recoveries during 2016, I think, are on the cards. And on that note, well, it's been a frustrating, somewhat nervous week here overall. We're entitled to a good rest. I hope you've got the Christmas shopping out of the way. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.